Well, this morning, this may be kind of a simple message. It depends. This may be a message that you need to hear this morning. But I want to talk about prayer. Some of us know a whole lot about prayer. Some of us have done a whole lot of prayer. Some of us love to pray. You may be that person. You love to pray for hours. Or you may be that person who you pray 2 minutes and you have nothing else to pray. You don't even know what to pray. You ran out of things all of a sudden to pray. Well, this really is for anyone today, because the thing is we're all called to pray, every one of us. Now, whether you consider yourselves a person of prayer or not, I really believe this message can be applicable to each of us today. Well, sometimes when we look at our prayer life, sometimes for many of us, we go through seasons. Some seasons are more vibrant than others. And some seasons, it feels like in our prayer life, we get to a stuck place, like it's more stale and kind of dead. And sometimes it seems like prayers are not going anywhere. And sometimes it feels lifeless even as we're praying them. Sometimes our prayer life is up and down, up and down. But the way we give attention to prayer is important, and how the role that prayer plays in our life is very, very significant. So that in of itself will affect the quality of our prayer life. What you believe about prayer also is very important. What you personally believe, what you believe about the importance of prayer, how important it is, what you believe about the power of prayer, and also what you believe about the power of prayer that comes from you. Sometimes we think other people's prayers are powerful, but not mine. And sometimes we have beliefs. We have beliefs that affect our prayer life. Your belief about the purpose of prayer. What purpose does it serve? You know, what you believe about prayer and what you practice is very important. And so we have to reconsider, you know, what do I believe about prayer? Just look at your practices. How do you practice it? Because that will tell you something about what you believe. It is important to ask what prayer is at its core. And we know this, but we just need a reminder. Prayer at its core is communication with God. It's communication, right? We call it prayer, but it's communication. It's how I communicate with God and God communicates with me. It's a two-way street, not a one-way street. That's always important. We need to recognize that and realize that and practice that. But it's communication between us and God. It speaks about relationship. So at its core, prayer is relational. So we need to approach it that way, as a relationship. You know, it's a privilege to pray. Do you ever think about that? It's a privilege to pray. It's a privilege to be able to communicate with the God of the universe, with a God who created everything, created you, he created me, he created all things. He formed us. He formed us for him. He formed us to worship him, to be in relationship with him. And so we can pray, and we can communicate even daily with God, this awesome, omniscient, all-powerful God, yet a God who is intimate and close and relational. How is your relationship with God? That's the next question, right? So if we know that this prayer is communication with God, and we know we have this ability to speak with God, and he opens the door for this, that we can communicate daily with the Lord, how does that relationship look like in your life? You know, our prayer life is one very big indication of our walk with God. And God wants to walk closely with us. So at its core, prayer is connection with God, our connection with him. It connects us to our source and purpose in life. So important. You know, to be disconnected in prayer is to be disconnected from our source. Sometimes in life we feel that way. Yes, in our Christian walk, we can feel disconnected. And sometimes we have to come back to our prayer life and say, Lord, what's happening? Where's the disconnect? Why am I feeling disconnected from you? To be disconnected will affect how we see life and our purpose in life. And God calls us to be connected with Him. You know, Jesus lived a life of prayer. He modeled a life of prayer. We read the scriptures, we see that. We see He prayed. This was so significant to Him. Why? Because His relationship with the Father was of the utmost importance. This is why He prayed. He prayed because that connection, the Father was His source. He needed the Father every day. Every day. There was not a day He did not need God. He did not need Him. He did not need the Father. And so He lived a life of prayer. And Jesus modeled that. He lived connected to the Father. When we look at Jesus' life, we can see that He was always praying before big decisions, before hard, difficult times. He prayed before, during, and after ministry. He went away to pray. He got away from everybody. He got away from all distractions and went up to be with the Father. He stayed connected. So He had a very strong prayer life because He had a very strong relationship with the Father. We're called to be like Jesus. Jesus was the model, so we see in Him what we are to do. That God is to be our life source. Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. We know that. He modeled for them. He even gave them a model. He gave them the Lord's Prayer on a structure of how to pray and how to approach prayer. And He knew He needed to teach His disciples how to pray because there was great challenges and tasks ahead of them. And they would not be able to handle that without a connection with their source. To not have a daily, consistent relationship with God. They needed to be connected to God daily. So their life was to follow the example of Christ. You know, at one point, the disciples get really, really excited. They were sent out to do ministry. They would go out to the towns, and God anointed them to do ministry in His name, and they healed the sick. They cast out demons. They did all kinds of miracles. And they came back to Jesus and said, "Look, Jesus, even the demons obey us in Your name. They obey us." They were excited because now they were doing even what they saw Jesus doing. And they were doing it. This was exciting. It almost gave them a feeling of like, we've arrived. We're doing what You're doing, Jesus. We're becoming like You. But Jesus reminds them that though that's wonderful, that's awesome, it does not even compare to the greatest thing. The greatest thing is that your name is written in the book of life, that you know God, that you have a relationship with God. That's the greatest thing. Your relationship with God is the greatest thing. That's sometimes a reminder to us. Sometimes we think the height of maturity is casting out demons and laying on hands and healing the sick. That's the height of maturity, that we've arrived. But that's not true. Because we do all those things in Jesus' name. It comes from a relationship with God. Everything comes from a relationship with God. If our relationship is not good, everything suffers. Our relationship with God is the most important thing. It's the greatest thing that we have. Now, Peter, we know Peter. He was probably one of those who thought he had arrived when he was now casting out demons and healing the sick, and he probably felt pretty good about all that, and there's nothing wrong with feeling good, but if we know something about Peter, we know that he could be given over to pride. We know that was an issue for Peter. It's an issue for all of us, really, but we see that in his life. Peter was a man of action. He wanted to do things. Oh boy, he wanted to do things. He wanted to conquer the world. He was ready to go with Jesus and conquer the world. And boy, laying on of hands, healing the sick, casting out devils, that was right up his line because he could do action. He could take action and see things being done. He was a man of action. But, you know, there's things that Peter would be challenged by. You know, when he was coming to the end with Jesus, he was ready to literally fight the world. He was ready to go to prison with Jesus. He said it. He said it. In fact, let's look at that scripture in Luke 22. Because Peter says, I'm willing to go with you, Jesus, even to prison and even to death. He was a man of action. He wanted to get things done. But Jesus has to stop him in his tracks and say, Peter, you're not as mature as you think you are. You're not as strong as you think you are. And though you want to do these things, there's some things you're going to have to learn and grow in. So Jesus tells Peter plainly that Satan is after him and all the disciples. That Satan has a plan to undo them, to come against them, even to crush them. But let's look at the words of Jesus. Jesus says this, speaking to Peter and the disciples. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever comes my way. I'm ready. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to win. With you, Jesus, we can do it. We can do anything. We can cast out demons. We can heal the sick. We're sharing. People are coming into the kingdom. God, we can do anything. I'm ready to do it all with you, even to death. But Peter doesn't know the kind of preparation he really needs to fight the fight that he's going to fight, because he thinks certain ways about the battle he's going to fight. He thinks in certain parameters in certain ways. He's like, I'm ready. But there's a battle that he's going to fight that he knows nothing about. And he's not ready. He's not ready for that battle. Jesus knows this. Jesus sees this very clearly. Because why? Jesus sees into spiritual things that Peter does not see into. Do y'all know that God knows things that we don't know? Do you know that there's spiritually mature people that have walked the walk, won the victories, have been through fire, been through trials, been through difficulties, and they come out the other side, tried and true men and women of strong faith and belief? Do you know that they can see things that sometimes we can't see when we haven't been there yet and gone through that yet? Do you know that somebody who's been married 50 years and has been through trials and tribulations of marriage and difficulties and hardships, because everybody does. Do you know they know something about marriage, that they've stuck with it and stayed true to each other and still love each other? Do you know they know something about marriage that some of us don't, who have been married maybe a year or two or maybe 10? Do they know something about what it's like to be on the other side of things, through the trials and through the tribulations and through the difficulties? Sometimes people see things because they know things. God knows things. Jesus knew things about Peter. He could see it very clearly. Peter couldn't see it. Peter couldn't see it. Because he thought absolutely he was ready. But the enemy had a battle that he was not ready for. But he believed he was ready. He was sincere. And that's the thing. We could be absolutely sincere. Peter was sincere in his beliefs. He was ready to die with Jesus. But what was on the inside of Peter, Peter himself truly did not know. And sometimes we don't know either. We don't know. We don't know what we'll do in trying times. We don't know what we'll do. You know, some people, when they go through very difficult trials, they abandon, they jump ship. They're out, they're done. Some people abandon their faith when they go through hard, difficult trials. Some people turn to their old nature stuff. And when I say old nature stuff, they turn to the old man, the old person, the sinful life of old, you know, ways of dealing with life in the old ways, whatever that may be, but turning to sinful things, sinful pleasures, ways of coping the way we used to. Sometimes when we go through trials, that's what people do. And some are steadfast and unwavering. Some are able to stand strong in the storm and get through the storm and come out on the other side, intact and ready to go. Peter thought he was ready for anything. He thought he was. He would not leave Jesus aside. He would not let Jesus out of his sight. He literally would not let Jesus out of his sight. He was following Jesus all the way. He was committed. But there he was with his sword strapped to his side. He had his weapon. He was ready to fight. Oh, he was ready to fight. And we see it, right? We see him fight. He was vigilant. But he needed something beyond his physical vigilance, his ready to fight. Because what he was ready to do was not in the spirit, it was in the flesh. And we see this in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was a point of pressure that was so intense. Jesus goes up to this Mount of Olives. And what does he say to his disciples? He says, pray. Pray, because then Jesus goes into this intense time of prayer because Jesus knows that the trial is at hand. The greatest trial that he would face is at hand. It's time to pray. And not just pray a little bit, but pray intensely, to pray fervently, to pray until literally blood was pouring out of his pores. So Jesus went into this time of prayer, and the prayer was really more of a battle in communication with the Father. As he even tells God, he tells the Father, says, Lord, if it be your will, take this from me. I don't want this. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't desire that. But if it is your will, I'll go. It was intense. But Jesus was ready. When those Roman soldiers came to arrest him, he was ready. But look what he speaks. He speaks. I'm going to get into the verses of the dialogue between the disciples in Luke 22, verse 39. Do we have that? Luke 22, verse 39. It says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. There was Peter right behind him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. Then a few verses later, Jesus finds the disciples sleeping. Because while he's intensely, fervently praying, because he knows the trial's at hand, the disciples are sleeping. They're exhausted. They're sleeping. And he says this, he says in verse 46, he says, why are you sleeping? Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. He says it twice. Why pray? So that you will not fall into temptation. The trial is at hand. He knows the trial is at hand. There is something going to come against you that you're not ready for. Pray. 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 Pray fervently. Pray long. Persevere in prayer. It's time to pray. The disciples were tired, and they would rather sleep. I mean, they were exhausted. I mean, give them the benefit of the doubt, they were exhausted. But they didn't heed the words of Jesus. You know, we never truly know what temptation awaits us. We never know. The disciples at this moment, they really did not know the temptation that they were about to be faced with. They were about to get hit with a tsunami wave. It was about to overwhelm them and knock them off their feet. They were not going to stand the way they were. We never truly know what temptation awaits us around the corner. We don't know. But we are to pray. We're to pray in season and out of season. We're to pray daily. We're to communicate with the Father. We're to communicate in the Spirit, knowing the Spirit of God. We are to pray because we never know what awaits us around the corner. We never know. There's something that's important about prayer, because prayer can be a place of battling. It can be a place of warfare. And if we will learn to win battles in prayer, we will have more victory in life. This is important, because prayer is a place to win battles. You know, Jesus was pressured because the trial that he was to face was great. But he was ready. You know, when he is under trial and he's being cursed at, the crown of thorns were being put upon him, he's being whipped, he's being prepared for crucifixion, he does not defend himself. See, we see this about Jesus. Jesus does not defend himself. He's not trying to win the battle in the courtrooms of men. He's winning it in the place of prayer before the Father. This is where he's winning the battle. And he's teaching us, he's showing us, this is also where we win the battles in life. What we think about prayer is so important, and this is something that we need to know. Because when we look at what Peter did, Peter slept, the disciples slept, and so when those soldiers come, what is he ready to do? He's ready to fight in the flesh. He pulls out the sword. He attacks the servant, Malchus, and cuts off his ear. I guess his aim wasn't, I don't know what his, if he just had bad aim or what. I don't know if he was trying to kill somebody or just trying to make a statement. I don't know. But he was operating in the flesh. He was not operating in the spirit. His battle readiness was to pull out the sword and fight in the flesh. How many times do we fight in the flesh? But we forget the place of battle was in prayer. How many times do we get angry and shout at people? You need to change the way you think. Your understanding of things is wrong. Why did you do that? How many times have we gotten in the flesh with other people? I'm sorry, at least I'll say I've done it. You can be innocent and holy and holier than thou, but I've tried to fight in the flesh before. And you know what? I find it doesn't always work so well. And it doesn't always really win the day. We all know how to fight in the flesh. We all know how to pull out the sword. And sometimes we will scour somebody with our words. We will beat somebody up with our opinion of them. Or if we don't say it to them, we'll say it to somebody else. We know how to fight in the flesh. But do we know how to fight in the Spirit? Do we know how to win battles in prayer? Well, Peter did not know how. And so what he does, he pulls out the sword, he goes fighting in the flesh, and somebody has to say, calm down, Peter, put it up. We're not doing that today. And even Jesus, we see, heals the servant in the ear and heals him. Jesus is the healer in the time of his greatest trial. We think about that. So when they take Jesus away, Peter follows. And he waits outside while Jesus is under trial. And he waits outside, and we know what happens. Peter denies, as it was spoken, as it was prophesied, Peter denies Jesus three times. And at the end, he's actually cursing himself. If we read the Matthew account, he actually curses himself on the third denial. He's saying, let may curses follow me if I'm telling you a lie. I don't know this man. Do you think he was in the flesh or in the spirit? He was in the flesh. He was walking fully in the flesh. He was in total self-preservation mode, denying Jesus three times. Peter, under pressure, falls apart. He absolutely falls apart, betraying Jesus. He falls to temptation. Yet we see that Jesus says this. He says this in the verse. He says he was praying that Peter's faith would not fail and that he would repent, turn back. And then when he repented, go help strengthen others. That was the verse in 46. It says, Simon, I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. So Jesus is praying that his faith would not fail. You know, again, there's some people. I mean, we have the account of Judas because Judas did not have faith. Judas failed, betrayed Jesus, but he did, his faith did not fail. He didn't have a faith. And his end was doomed. He takes his own life. But Jesus prays for Simon and says that your faith would not fail, that when you have fallen, when you have betrayed me, when you have done these things that I know that you will do, my prayer is you will repent, turn back, and then strengthen your brothers. Peter failed. His prayer life had not prepared him for the trial he faced. He was not ready. He was trying to win in the flesh what he needed to learn to win in prayer. But Peter was a godly man. He was a committed man following Christ. But he was not ready for the pressures that came up against him. You know, I think this is something for us to learn. There's something for us to really learn in this. Because we face pressures. We face pressures that we have no idea will come against us. Pressures that we're not ready for. We don't know what awaits us around the corner. So what kind of prayer life do we need to have for things unknown to us? Well, Jesus says very clearly, don't have a prayer life of the Pharisees, the kind that just looks good in front of people. It just looks right, looks good. Don't have that kind of prayer. That prayer life lacks connection with God. There's no connection with God in that. We need a real, tried, and true connection. We need a quiet place to spend time with the Lord. We need a place to grow in our walk with Him. We need a place to speak with Him and to listen to Him. We need that quiet place. We need that place to get away. And we need to even say, we need to commit to time of prayer. Time that we give Him. Time to develop intimacy. Time to know His heart. Time to hear His voice. We need to develop an intimate prayer life. We need to have, this is a strength, this is a tool, this is something so important for the Christian walk. You can't have a strong Christian walk if you have a weak prayer life. They don't go together. A strong Christian will have a strong prayer life, will have a strong intimacy with God.